What's up, guys? Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. Gonna do a rundown of just some quick headlines for you as we move on with our Tuesday, August 10th show. So headlines for Tuesday, August 10th, 2021. We're gonna start with the Buckeyes. The Buckeyes are inching closer and closer. We are 23 days until kickoff. They will take on the Minnesota Golden Gophers in Minnesota on September 2nd at 8 p.m. That will be an 8 p.m. kickoff on a Thursday evening. So two rarities right there, Ohio State opening on the road. Also playing a Thursday night game, which is very rare. And you're breaking in a new quarterback, you're testing out a new defense, getting different things like that. So right now it looks like C.J. Stroud is going to be under center for the Buckeyes. They are going to have a plethora of talent. They probably have the best offensive line in the country. They probably have the best wide receivers in the country. They have a very good tight end. They have a great stable of running backs. So Ohio State is going to be a very, very exciting team. And probably preseason rankings to me really don't mean a whole lot until you get on the field. But I would guess Ohio State will be a preseason top five team to compete, probably favorites to win the Big Ten, probably favorites to make the college football playoff. I know Alabama, of course, will be up there. Oklahoma, of course, will be up there. You know, you'll have your regulars. Your Clemson will most likely be in the mix, and a handful of others. So it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But again, C.J. Stroud, most likely the quarterback for the Buckeyes. He has done some great things, hearing really, really good things from camp. Quinn Ewers, the most elite prospect Ohio State has ever brought in, is on his way to Columbus. There's zero chance he will be a starter in the opening weeks. However, you could see him getting some playing time by the second month of the season. I know he just signed his first endorsement deal, Kombucha, I believe it's some sort of drink, Texas-based company that's a sort of a health product. But it's going to be interesting to see the quarterback room and how it goes forward. So most likely it's going to be C.J. Stroud. I'm hearing a lot of good things about Kyle McCord, who's the backup five-star prospect out of the state of Pennsylvania. So we'll see how that quarterback room all shakes out. Usually these things take care of themselves by performance on the field. But it sounds to me like C.J. Stroud will be under center for the Buckeyes week one at Minnesota. As far as running back, you know, Master Teague returns. But to me, it's going to be Travion Henderson or Mayan Williams. They call Mayan Williams Meatball affectionately. But he had a few nice plays in the Clemson game, in the national championship game. We all know Master Teague has been sort of that pound running back that will get you those yards in between the tackles. But Travion Henderson is an explosive back, maybe the best Ohio State's recruited in a long, long time. So it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. But I am hearing great, great things about Mayan Williams to get a lot of playing time and push for that. One other note I want to talk about. Obviously, Ohio State has had a dominant defensive line over the past decade, really. You know, the Bosa brothers, Chase Young. It sounds like these new guys, the two freshmen, JT Tuimolo and Sawyer from the Pickerington area, Jack Sawyer, are going to do some things. They're not going to start right away, but they will make an impact on the field. And Ohio State defensive line is not something we're going to be worried about this year. Their linebacking core is, you know, going to be all new. You're breaking in, you know, two, three, four new guys. But I have a feeling Ohio State is going to be playing a lot of nickel, a lot of dime coverage. So maybe only one linebacker on the field, or maybe two at times. But it's going to be interesting. I think that defensive line is going to make up for maybe some of the lapses in the middle. But we have a lot of talent there, just a lot of inexperience and a lot of guys that are going to, you know, sort of need to prove it. before they get on the field or make an impact. But, you know, Ohio State, next guy up always is the mentality, and someone will step up in that position. Kerry Combs leads the defense. He is the defensive coordinator, a great recruiter. Last year was a little bit of an anomaly. You know, you only play 7 games total. You're starting, you're stopping. You don't have an off season. Ohio State was still number 6 overall in run defense, but they were 6th to worst in pass defense, which is not something that usually is a staple at Ohio State. Ohio State usually is just a top tier defense overall. So it will be interesting to see how that defense improves, especially in the secondary. Seven Banks returns. Cam Brown is going to be someone to watch. Legend Cabazos. And there's going to be a lot of other guys in that secondary that are going to make an impact. And I really have high hopes for this Buckeye defense, especially. So we're going to keep an eye on the Buckeyes, especially as camp moves on. But we are only 23 days away till kickoff, and we have a lot of bright futures on this team, a lot of NFL guys. And, you know, I think you're going to see Ohio State compete for the Big Ten again, and not just the Big Ten, but national title aspirations as well, especially as the quarterback position grows with Garrett Wilson, with Chris Olave, with Jeremy Ruckert, with Jackson Smith-Njigba, with Marvin Harrison Jr., whoever it might be. There's going to be a lot of good talent on the field, and the quarterback will, hopefully CJ Stroud or whoever it might be is able to just sling them the ball and make the safe and smart play. And they're just going to grow and be able to take more chances as they grow into that role. All right, let's move on to YSU. Now, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about YSU. They played that spring season. We are going to have the experts in on this fairly soon to give us a full, complete breakdown. Bob Hannon, Steve Leslie will be in. They are the voices of YSU football. We will have them in to talk all things YSU football in the coming weeks to give you a nice preview, a breakdown of the Penguin season as it unfolds and it is nearing the start of the season. And finally, with football, the Cleveland Browns training camp is about a week in. They had a scrimmage just this past Sunday at First Energy, 40-some thousand people there. And it's going to be awesome to see what the Cleveland Browns can do this year. A lot of people think they have one of the best rosters from top to bottom in the NFL. They have, you know, skill positions like crazy. They have a great offensive line. My areas of concern with Cleveland Browns are the defensive line. Now, we have the best defensive end, arguably, in football in Myles Garrett, you know, if not the best, the top three. Jadeveon Clowney sounds like he is doing a great job in camp. Now, Tack McKinley right now is out. So the depth at the defensive line concerns me a bit. But I think the Browns have enough talent there to make up for it. Some guys that sat out last year based on COVID protocols will be joining the team. And we'll once we get everyone back healthy and on the field, I think we're going to see some great things out of the Browns. Offensive line is fantastic, probably the best in football. Obviously, you got a 1-2 Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt backfield that's phenomenal. Odell Beckham, there's so many storylines coming out of Cleveland. Odell Beckham getting healthy off of ACL surgery looks like an absolute stud out there. So hopefully he can make some noise on the field for the Browns and be that field stretcher that they sorely lacked last year. Jarvis Landry is going to make every catch underneath and over the middle. Odell Beckham can hopefully get you those deep balls and or at least gives the defense something to think about. And then you just pound the Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb in the backfield. Now, one storyline to keep an eye on with the Browns off the field will be Baker Mayfield's contract. Now, they just re-signed Nick Chubb, 3-year extension, but Josh Allen for the Buffalo Bills just signed a huge contract, roughly about $43 million. They were in the same class. Josh Allen, I think, was the 5th, 6th, or 7th pick in the draft. Baker Mayfield was obviously the first overall. Now, a a lot of these big money contracts have been going to these dual threat quarterbacks. So Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, you know, you can go down the list, but Lamar Jackson might be next. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Browns get Baker Mayfield's contract done now during the season or wait till after the season. That is a storyline to keep an eye on. But Baker Mayfield with his back against the wall is probably the best sort of Baker Mayfield. And he's going to earn his money out on the field. So we will see what he does. We will see what the Browns do. A whole new secondary, amazing defense. Hopefully, we think. But it's going to be real, real interesting. The Steelers just kicked off in the Hall of Fame game against the Cowboys. And the preseason games are underway. So we have a lot to look forward to in the coming weeks. We will give you plenty of Browns breakdown as we go forward. The Indians or the Guardians, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on them, but they did retain the Ohio Cup, beating the Cincinnati Reds last night. I think that is the 19th time in the past 24 years they've retained that Ohio Cup. You know, their organization this year has been depleted with injuries, and obviously Terry Francona being out for the year sort of waved a white flag, but the Indians do have a nice stable of young talent. And you know, for me, the rest of the season is to get those guys out there. You know, your Miles Straws, your interior infielders, your second baseman, your shortstop going forward, and see who's going to do what for you going forward, so you can head into next year with a reloaded pitching staff, a new stable of young core guys that the Indians and now the Cleveland Guardians can rely on, hopefully going forward, and build on that talent with a solid pitching staff and get back into playoff contention next year. Also, the Cleveland Cavaliers, just a real quick check-in, they are playing their Vegas Summer League. They Evan Mobley, you know, had a nice first performance against the Houston Rockets. And, you know, just I'm really excited to see what him, Jared Allen, Darius Garland, Colin Sexton, all these young guys, Isaac Okoro, and, you know, you got some nice key veterans in there, Larry Nance, and if Kevin Love can give us anything, that would be good. But I'm still thinking a trade is on the horizon, whether it's a Kevin Love, whether it's a Larry Nance, whether it's a Colin Sexton. There's a lot to be said, a lot to be done. And it'll be interesting to see the makeup of this this team going forward. But you have a really, really nice stable of core young players with you can build around, with Darius Garland especially and Evan Mobley. So very excited to see what the Cavs season next year holds. They need to start winning some games and get into the playoffs and, you know, get some wins under their belt. And then finally, I just want to remind you real quick to follow my show, the 330 Sports Show, on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. That is at the numbers 330 and then Sports Show. I appreciate all you guys for listening, all you guys for watching, you know, interacting with the show. It really helps us out and really helps us grow. And can't thank you guys enough. And finally, just a reminder real quick, you can always listen to my podcast or any of the other 8 to 10 shows we have on our Youngstown Studio Network. Simply listen by typing in Youngstown Studio on your favorite podcast platform. You could also visit www.youngstownstudio.com. Follow Youngstown Studio on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and you can watch any of our shows live or on demand through Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube. The Twitter app is going away soon. That is done through Periscope. But our main platforms for viewing are Facebook and YouTube. So make sure to check that out. Again, Youngstown Studio, just type that in, search, and you can find my show, the 330 Sports Show, or just simply by going to youngstownstudio.com. Appreciate you guys, and we will talk to you soon. Have a great day. Hey, what's up, guys? This is Justin Coffin for the 330 Sports Show. You guys know every Tuesday we do a top five list, you know, various topics, whatever. So I wanted to put a bow on the Olympic Games here for 2020, the Tokyo Games, and just go over sort of my some of the things I thought were great and the top moments. mostly from a United States perspective, but we will do some other just really cool, interesting things that I saw. So really cool. The United States ended up winning the medal count over China, the ROC, which is Russian Olympic Committee, Great Britain and Japan. Those were the top five countries. And, you know, the United States finally passed up China on the final day, kind of racking up a lot of the medals. So United States won an overall count of gold, silver, and bronze, which is really, really cool. Just edging out China, 39 to 38 in the gold medal count. So the first thing I want to talk about is the women's Team USA basketball. They just continue their dominance. They continue their excellence. You know, that's, they have a 50 plus game winning streak. They've won, you know, off the top of my head, I can't remember, but I believe it's like six or seven gold medals in a row. It's just unbelievable run. They are arguably the most dominant team in any sport in America right now, as it stands, sort of taking that notch from the men's 1992 team. And obviously in other sports, we've had great dynasties, the Patriots or the Warriors or the Bulls, stuff like that. But right now, you almost have to give that crown to the women's basketball team. And Nike put out a really cool commercial, if you didn't see it, just showing and putting a spotlight on their excellence. Also, Diana Taurasi and Sue Bird. Diana Taurasi on the left, Sue Bird on the right. They have won their fifth gold medal in the Olympics, which is just amazing. When you really do the math and break it down, it's pretty crazy. And they are planning on playing in 2024 in London. So just amazing what they have done together. The U.S. men, you know, they really had a tough start. They lost to France in pool play. They ended up winning, I believe, five games in a row to get back into the gold medal game, and then overcame that loss in the opening game to France to beat them in the gold medal game, showing that they still are the most dominant country in the world. Now, the rest of the world is catching up. Now, I know LeBron didn't play. And, you know, you could argue a bunch of other of our best basketball players didn't play. However, the rest of the world is showing they're catching up to us in men's basketball. But Kevin Durant became the all-time leading scorer in USA men's basketball history. So congratulations to the men's team on their gold. Obviously, probably the biggest story to come out of these Olympic Games was Simone Biles. Her speaking out with her mental health, and she just wasn't in a great place. And she had something called the twisties that kind of threw her off, and just she wasn't able to compete. Out of the games, and you know, eventually got herself right, and she was able to compete in balance beam and come out and win a gold medal. But I think what she did off the mat or the beam or whatever you want to say is you know, very brave of her to step up. And you know, it's a lot of times you'll hear the phrase, it's okay to realize you're not okay. And I think she brought a lot of attention to an issue in not just our country, but the world, with not just athletes, but people in general with that struggle with mental health on a daily basis. So congratulations to Simone Biles. And that opened the door for her teammate, Suni Lee. Suni Lee won gold in the women's all around. Now, I watch gymnastics probably once every 4 years, but when they're out there, it's just unbelievable what they're doing. And I liked what the one announcer said, especially in the balance beam. He said, do you want to know what competing on a balance beam is like? He said, basically, lay your cell phone down in the middle of your floor. And that's pretty much the width of a balance beam. So what these athletes can do when they're up there is just incredible. So congratulations to Suni Lee. She wins gold in women's all-around gymnastics. Also, Allison Felix. We're going to talk a lot, especially about women's track. Women's track really had an awesome Olympic Games. But Allison Felix, a mom, 35 years old, becomes the most decorated track and field athlete in U.S. history, passing Carl Lewis and names like Jackie Joyner-Kersee that you have heard in the past. And she is just a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. Great runner, has done so many good things, and put a spotlight on mothers and maternity leave and maternity pay and equal rights and things like that for females in that are athletes. So congratulations to her, and just amazing, amazing run, no pun intended. In golf, we had Kelly Korda and Xander Schauffele both winning the gold in golf for the USA. Awesome performances. I saw this course was about an hour and a half outside of Tokyo, but they came up big in the final couple holes to secure their gold. Moving on now to volleyball. So April Ross and Alex Kleinman both win gold in beach volleyball. I believe it's Alex Kleinman who is the newcomer, but pretty awesome performance. And beach volleyball obviously has a draw with the uniforms, but what these women are able to do and just compete, covering that whole volleyball court in sand in that 90 plus degree heat too, was just amazing. So if you've never played just a two-man, two-woman volleyball, it is extremely difficult. So what these women are able to do is awesome. Going on, sticking with volleyball, but moving on to indoor women's team volleyball, they win the gold for the first time in history. Now, they have won the silver before, but this was the first time their team had won in the gold medal. So congratulations to the U.S. women's volleyball team. Now, this moment was really cool. Ryan Krauser. Ryan Krauser was very close with his grandpa. His grandpa recently passed away before the Olympic Games, but he set records winning gold. And he during the ceremonies gave tribute to his grandfather. I just thought that was really, really cool. So one thing too, I heard an announcer say, he said to put this in comparison to what he did with the shot put, was if you stood on a free throw line on a basketball court and faced the opposite hoop and you took a bowling ball and you threw it at the other hoop, that's equivalent to the distance he threw that shot put. So just amazing when you really think about it in that type of perspective. This one was really cool. And I hope I pronounce her name right. It is, I want to make sure I get it right. It's Katie Najat. Katie Najat. She wins gold in women's pole vault. She is from the Cleveland area. She went to Ashland University. And I thought, too, when she crossed over that women's pole vault, that high beam that they jump over, is just when she let go of the pole and realized when she was coming down, just like her facial expression, everything was just so great. She also pays tribute to her father by writing dad on her shoes. Her dad was a coach, but also passed away. So to give tribute to him each time she competes, she writes that on the inside of her shoes, which is really, really cool. So congratulations to Cleveland's Katie Najat for winning gold in women's pole vault. Also, we know the United States men and women are usually very dominant in the pool. Caleb Dressel, was the flag bearer really for the men in the pool. He did a fantastic job setting records, winning gold, and just becoming, he's not quite to the Michael Phelps level, but he's inching up there, and hopefully in 2024 we'll get to that level. But Caleb Dressel, fantastic job in the pool. And also probably the top female swimmer, Katie Ledecky, she continues her success in the distance races, especially. She is just a fantastic swimmer. Sticking in the pool, I had mentioned this on a previous show, but Alaska's first Olympic swimmer ever. They have one 50-meter pool in the entire state. She would train with, I read something where she would train with like literally sea lions by her in Alaska, you know, outdoors and different conditions. But Lydia Jacoby wins the gold in the 100-meter breaststroke, and she's only 17 years old. So congratulations to Lydia and that town in Alaska that was celebrating her victory. That was just so, so cool to watch. We showed that on one of our previous shows, so check that out. This was really neat, too. Eddie Alvarez. Eddie Alvarez is a member of Team USA Baseball. He becomes only the sixth, and they won silver, by the way. Silver medal in Tokyo, but he becomes only the sixth athlete to win medals in both the Winter Olympic and Summer Olympic Games. So very, very cool moment for him. This one was really neat. She was so emotional, but Tamira Mensah-Stock, she becomes the first Black woman to win gold in freestyle wrestling. Wrestling in female sports is new, but you know, just unbelievable. And the emotion that you can see right there on her face and in her press conference was just so great. So congratulations to her. Gabby Thomas is someone that stuck out. Obviously, Gabby Thomas is just beautiful. She's, you know, a beautiful girl. But, you know, so that'll catch your attention. But when you see her run and you hear her story, it's just so amazing. She is a Harvard grad, and she has now become, I believe, the third fastest woman in the world. She won several medals for the U.S. track team. Now she is getting her master's in epidemiology from the University of Texas. So just a great athlete, smart, and going to do great things going forward. You know, not just on the track, but in the world, helping out, you know, different causes, and epidemiology, especially through this pandemic in the past year, is something we could use some more experts in. Another one, Sydney McLaughlin. She wins gold and sets the world record in the 400-meter hurdles, and just an awesome performance. And if you watch these track athletes, especially over these hurdles, just so incredible what they can do. And the speed in which they can do it at. So congratulations to Sydney. Another one is Athing Mew. She wins gold. She's only 19 years old. She wins gold in the 800 meters, and she's the first gold medal winner for the United States since 1968 in that event. Another really cool moment. A lot of women in track, because they just really dominated. The men struggled on the track and field side a little bit, or didn't quite meet their expectations, but the women really excelled. But Molly Seidel wins bronze in the marathon. Now, this is really cool. Now, Kenya, obviously, you can see in the picture, dominates that sport mostly, and they win gold and silver. But Molly Seidel wins bronze in the marathon. This was the third time she ever ran a marathon, and to win gold in the Olympics against the best to do it is just incredible. And then, you know, this isn't U.S., but this was just a really, really cool story. Qatar and Italy, the two top athletes, Mataz Essa Barsham and Gianmarco Tamberi for Italy, both basically tied, both tied in the high jump. And they both just agreed to share gold. And these two were close friends. I saw they were both at, one of them was in someone else's wedding, but just a really, really cool story. They embraced, and it was just really, really neat that they were able to share gold and kind of agreed on it. And just a really cool moment there. Another one, sportsmanship at its best, Isaiah Jewett for the U.S. and Nigel Amos from Botswana. In these distance runs, you know, a lot of times these athletes want to try to get to the inside of the track, and, you know, you'll see them, they're all bunched up, and, you know, they got their feet tangled, and they ended up falling and just weren't able to finish the race, but they picked each other up and finished, you know, that way. And you can kind of see them with their arms around each other, and just shows like sportsmanship at its finest, which is kind of a great story. And to put a ribbon or a bow on this, so Team USA wins the overall medal count. They win the overall gold count. They win the overall silver count. They win the overall gold bronze count, which is awesome. So 17 days, 113 medals, 39 gold, 41 silver. And I spelled silver wrong. My apologies. And I do not medal in spelling on silver there, but 33 bronze and 626 athletes in total for what was a crazy Olympics with the asterisks, a little bit of the COVID-19, you know, pushing it back a year. But hats off to the Olympic Committee for being able to get this done and in, and congratulations to all the U.S. medalists. And, you know, even those that didn't medal, they're still some of the best in the world in what they do. And, you know, I know I didn't hit every sport. I know I didn't hit every gold medalist, but those were some of the stories that really stuck out to me.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.